The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. See, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Do not be afraid. You hear those words in Scripture time and time again. But there are many reasons to be afraid. Some people I know are afraid to fly. Some people are afraid to invest in case they lose all their money. Some are worried about opening their mail in case there's a letter bomb. Others fear losing their jobs. Many are afraid to be generous, fearing what the future might hold. Some are fearful because they're in a shaky marriage or because of a recent divorce. Some may fear intimacy with other people, and others fear being alone. Some may fear confronting an addiction, either in themselves or someone close to them. There are so many, many things of which we can be afraid. And in recent years, in recent weeks, we've heard a lot about many people's fear of illegal immigrants into America. People are frightened and they want to build walls. In less than a week, a GoFundMe website was launched on December the 16th and it's raised over $16 million to build a wall along our country's southern border. Now, I don't want to get into the rights and the wrongs of the wall, at least not today. But for me, that statistic shows how many people in this country are frightened. They perceive a threat and they're frightened. In another part of the United States, Puerto Rico, there are, according to ABC News, 14,500 people who are still without electricity following Hurricane Maria in September 2017, 15 months ago. Now, I'm saddened when I see those two statistics side by side, because it says to me, our fears are often greater than our compassion. Not that people aren't compassionate, but fear motivates us more than compassion. And time and time again in the Gospels and right through the whole Bible, a message from God is fear not or be not afraid. That message, be not afraid, comes into our Christmas story when it starts with Mary being visited by the Archangel Gabriel and told what is going to happen to her. A first century pregnant girl, a first century Palestinian girl about to have a child out of wedlock in an incredibly conservative religious community. Be not afraid. And then to Joseph, a decent and kind man whose fiance has somehow become pregnant. He knows it's not by him, and she says God has done it. And he must have been the butt of every single joke in every pub or bar in Nazareth. Imagine it. Be not afraid. And then be not afraid to shepherds, tending their sheep and minding their own business, when not one angel but a whole choir of them appears on the hillside. There are so many reasons why we might be frightened, and I suspect the appearance of an angel itself might be frightening enough. Are all those angels hopelessly naive? Do they simply not understand the way our world is? Or is there something more important here? What in God's name could take the fear out of all the fearful situations we face. What was happening in Nazareth? What was happening in Bethlehem or wherever else those angels turned up? What was happening that could possibly make the exhortation, "Be not afraid," remotely possible? And what on earth do those exhortations almost 2,000 years ago have to do with you and me in Sayville tonight, so many years later? Now, when you hear stories about angels and you see pictures of angels, they're normally looking rather pretty. Maybe you've had Christmas cards over the last few weeks and you've had pictures of angels and stables and it all looks tinselly and romantic. Maybe you came to our Christmas pageant this afternoon and you saw pretty angels all looking sweet and charming. Those pictures are rather misleading, because when these angels turn up, they come with some pretty tough and messy news. God is becoming human. And when God becomes human, he chooses to do so among the poor and in an obscure, out-of-the-way corner of the Roman Empire. You know, the idea that God might become human is so foreign to any other religion in the Middle East at that time. The idea that we as human beings might strive upward to become more like God and more godlike is perfectly understandable. But the idea of God becoming human is somehow scandalous. But nonetheless, it's the foundation of our Christian faith. It's what we celebrate at Christmas. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in all the other paraphernalia that goes with Christmas. And maybe even as we tell the Christmas story, we think about angels, babies, stables, wise men, shepherds. And in all of that story, we miss what it's really about. The incarnation, God becoming flesh, becoming human, becoming one of us and getting to know us from the inside, walking with us, understanding us with all our hopes, all our fears, all our heartbreaks and all our joys. And God isn't merely pretending to be human. He is actually becoming human, giving up all the divine prerogatives that belong to God, limiting God's self to the experience of one human being living in an obscure time, in an obscure corner of the world. God becoming like us because God loves us so much that he would sacrifice everything for our redemption. Now, it's not that God will make everything right. He doesn't come along and get rid of all the causes of our fears. All the things I listed at the beginning can still be pretty fearful to us and make us afraid. God doesn't promise to get rid of that. What he does promise is to be with us through it all, to the end of the age. He gives us a sense of our identity and our security, that no matter what happens to us, God loves us. And then our joy and our fulfillment don't depend on earthly values. They don't depend on the size of our portfolio or our waistlines or our economy or our jobs or our efforts to keep ourselves safe. Our confidence isn't destroyed by tragic events or natural disasters or economic recession. Our hope is undiminished because God is with us. And that's the real message of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. That's why when the angels appear to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds and others, they know what they're talking about when they say, "Be not afraid." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them, take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your words tonight. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.